This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We unveiled our all-decade team on the offensive side. The defensive side is coming up later on. But right now, we're proud to bring on the director of athletics at Syracuse University, John Wildhack. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there like everybody else. Stay low, keep moving. That's what we keep telling folks. But, man, there is so much on your plate. I mean, we know about COVID-19, the social and racial unrest in the country and what's been going on that front. We hope to have a football season. But you've also got a building to deal with up and above that. I mean, it just seems like I can't even imagine how busy you are right now.
It's incredibly busy. It's a complicated time for everybody. And the good news in terms of the dome, construction is on schedule. It was deemed an essential project, so it never shut down. So, you know, we're confident that it'll be ready for our home opener September 19th against Colgate. We look forward to it.
John, it's interesting we talk about this project because last week the Patriot League had an announcement early in the week, and the first thing I thought of was your home opener with Colgate. Is that a game that right now is still on?
Right now it's still on, Wes. I talked to Nikki Moore, who's the AD at Colgate. She used to be in North Carolina. Nikki's great. We had a good conversation last week, and they still want to play the game, and I think there'll be some non-conference games in the Patriot League that don't get played. But for them, it's Hamilton's not even an hour ride from Syracuse, so I think they would like to play. But again, we're all dealing with unknowns right now, right? And that's people want answers, and you can't give definitive answers yet because there's so much that's unknown about this virus. And, we were an area, New York State, New York City in particular was hit very, very hard in the early part of this. Now you see the progress is made within our state, our area in central New York, knock on wood. We were approved for phase 4, over a week ago. So, we're doing relatively well, but then you see the outbreak of the virus. In the Southeast and the Southwest and back in California. And, this is, in a sense, there's only so much that we control here.
Let's talk about what you can control. Obviously, the safety and health of every student athlete, every person, is paramount. But that cost, right? I mean, that's not just one of those things you snap your fingers, hey, yeah, we're good to go. Hey, come on over and let's go play. From an athletic director's standpoint, putting together budgets, I mean, this is something a year ago, if we had asked you this question, you said, well, hey, it was, from a sanitary standpoint, the place is in great shape. But we're talking about every single day having to be on top of this. John, I can't even imagine how your head's got to be on a swivel from just a cost standpoint just to keep everything good to go when everybody decides to come back.
Well, and I think you're right, Mark. And I think, the key is, and from day one, we said the health and safety of our student athletes and our staff, that's the most important thing. And whatever we need to do to best ensure that, we're going to do that. And yes, that costs, but, that's an investment that every athletic department has to make.
John, when you have been in these conversations with folks on your campus about returning young people to Syracuse this fall, what's that been like, and kind of where's your plan as it stands this morning?
Wes, we've got our chancellor has stated numerous times is that our plan and what everyone is working towards is to have in-person instruction this fall, albeit it'll be somewhat different than it's been in the past, but is to have all of our students here on campus. We brought football back, our returning scholarship players, 3 weeks ago today, June 8th. We built a very, very extensive protocol. We had, from across the university, we had a number of experts who worked for months on this to prepare a very, very comprehensive protocol. The protocol has worked extremely well to this point. We had conversations with NFL teams. I had conversations with NFL owners. We had conversations with the NBA. Obviously, amongst the conference, you know, we've traded notes as well with the other 14 schools. The ACC formed a medical advisory group, which has a representative from every university on that, in terms of identifying protocol, a baseline protocol for when we do get into competition this fall. So, and it, extraordinary amount of work and complicated work went into creating the protocol that we have, but we're very, very pleased with how it's held up so far.
John, from a season ticket standpoint, I mean, there's so many layers to this story that I don't think folks understand sometimes. They think of the COVID and the health issue, but hey, it's a business too. I mean, you got to still run a business. So from season ticket standpoint for Orange Football 2020, how do you go about this knowing that, number one, I got construction in my stadium? We know that you mentioned the Colgate opener on September 19th gives you a little bit more time, which is good. But you also have the safe and healthy issue for a fan standpoint that says, hey, listen, I'd love to go, but, man, I'm just not sure what we're doing. And this is true whether we're talking about Syracuse or USC on the West Coast and everybody in between. So from a season ticket perspective, how did you go about this?
Yeah, one of the things we've done, Mark, is we've been – in constant communication, regular communication with our season ticket holders, you know, updating them on what we know, updating them on our plans. And we've told them in all likelihood there'll be enhanced health efforts around the stadium this year. It could be temperature checks when you come in, wearing a mask, I think is, you know, is likely to be mandatory as we sit here today, 2.5 months out. Social distancing with seating, additional precautions that'll be part of what we put in the dome in terms of sanitization. So we want people to feel as comfortable as they possibly can. We want to communicate with them up front. And at the same time, as you know, we continue to build out that protocol as well. And I think, you know, one of the questions, you know, one of the really big questions yet to be answered is across the country, what will capacity be or not be? And it may vary from state to state. It may vary from campus to campus.
John, I think that's an interesting point. It's one that's also, I think, Mark and I touched on this last week, it's one that the NFL has kind of, at least by report, already talking about the potential of deferring to specific states where games are going to be played. You're in a unique position. You're one of the private institutions in the ACC. You talked about the collaborative nature that this conference has gone through, and we've talked to a lot of your colleagues. We've talked to some conference officials and talked to coaches. I continue to just be really, really pleased to hear about the tremendous teamwork that's gone on here. What about that has meant – what's meant so much about that particular discipline – to what we're ultimately going to get to in the fall, the fact you guys have been incredibly collaborative and been willing to communicate at all times?
Well, I think, you know, number one is the group of ADs we have in this conference. It's a really extraordinary group of people. Very, very talented, very, very smart in disparate talents, which is great. I think that makes us better as a whole. And when you're in a situation like this, and yes, we're all competitive. We all want to win. We all want to win championships, compete for championships and all that. But, you know, there's kind of a base foundation here. And the base foundation is we need to do what's right for our student athletes. We need to do what's right for our staff. We need to do what's right for our opponents. And the best way to do that is to really communicate with one another, share information openly, and be transparent and see if we can create best practices that we can leverage across all 15 schools.
I don't know of a business that can succeed without great leadership. And the conference has had great leadership with John Swadford for 23, now going on 24 years. He announced his retirement plans last week. I'm curious to get your take on, number one, were you surprised? How early did you know? And number three, if you will, what's next for the league in terms of, and you mentioned all the talented ADs in this league, including yourself. That's a plum gig. A lot of folks would like to get their hands on that thing.
I think I'm probably in the bottom third of the AD list, guys. But, no, seriously, you know, I've known John Swofford since the day he became commissioner, because I was at ESPN then and I had oversight of programming. So I worked really, really closely with John in a different capacity when I was at ESPN. And John did, I think, an incredible job of leading the ACC through a period of dramatic change in intercollegiate athletics. He did it deftly. John is a person of great character, great integrity. He's a very, very honorable person, incredibly passionate about the conference, about each school. And I think, you know, John is, you know, the legacy that he leaves is rich and broad and deep in terms of making the conference better. As we look forward to whomever the next commissioner is, you know, we're going to need to support that person, work with that person. The conference is in a good position in a number of ways, but there's work to be done, and a lot of important work to be done. But I think it's a great opportunity, and this conference has the best combination of academic performance and athletic performance of any conference in the country. And if that's your starting point, that's a pretty good position of strength for anyone to walk into the commissioner's office and assume that responsibility.
John, I want to ask you real quick about your chancellor, Kent Severud, because his name's going to come up a lot in this move for a new commissioner, because he was named the chairman of the executive committee of the ACC Board of Governors, which comprised of all 15 CEOs of these institutions. Tell us about Chancellor Severud, and have you had conversations about his new role on that executive committee and what it means to the ACC? Because this is a change in the bylaws where, by their own admission, I think they're going to be, maybe not every day this committee or this board will be looking at the ACC, but maybe more often than not they'll be playing a role in the ACC.
I think, Wes, Chancellor Severud's been tremendous to work with on this project. And it's really a project that is going to help the ACC evolve, give it best practices from a governance perspective, allow the presidents to have more input. But also, I think part of the result of this is the ADs will have more input as well. The SWAs, the FARs will continue to have impact as well. I just think it's a really good and clean structure going forward. The chancellor has spent a tremendous amount of time on it. He's been terrific to work with on this. He's been supportive of, I mentioned earlier, the ACC Medical Advisory Group. He's been very, very supportive of that. And I think, you know, to get some of the things done that we need to get done as a conference, we will need the 15 presidents engaged, and we will need their support.
John, over your next meal at Dinosaur Barbecue, I'm curious, name, image, and likeness. And we've got so many things we could get into, but this is a topic and a subject that is coming at everybody ASAP. I'm curious, get your thoughts on that, too, if you don't mind.
Sure, Mark. It's going to happen, right? I think that's there's no question. We feel strongly, we the ACC and the other Power Five conferences, there needs to be a national solution to this, because otherwise you're going to have 50 states and you're going to have 50 different pieces of legislation, which is going to make it almost impossible to navigate. So we need a national piece of legislation that applies equally to all. And then within that is I think we do need some carefully constructed, you know, guidelines and guardrails, for lack of a better phrase, in terms of, you know, all right, what's allowable, what isn't allowable. It's really important to make sure that these young men and young women, that they're getting good advice, and sage advice from representatives, who are professional and have their best interests at heart. But it is coming. The most important thing, again, I think, is to have a national solution to this.
John Waldhack, Director of Athletics at Syracuse. Always appreciate your time. Great to catch up. We look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Well, thanks, guys. Good to see you back on the air, and best of your families. And we look forward to hopefully we're going to have it'll be a different fall, but hopefully we have kids on our campuses and we have competition within the ACC. So stay healthy, stay safe, guys.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Always appreciate John Wildhack's time, the athletics director at Syracuse University here on Packer and Durham. Fascinating conversation, Mark, on a lot of different areas. And again, I go back to the teamwork and the collaborative effort that's going on with ADs and coaches and everybody in this league to try and get this thing at least as far as they can take it, with the health and safety aspects, among other things, too.
If we were not in enough trouble coming up with the all-decade team, when John Wildhack said, I'd be in the bottom third of the list of AD rankings, the first thing that popped in my head is, AD rankings. Boy, could we get in trouble with that list? And by the way, I would not have John Wildhack in the bottom third of the league. He was being humble and self-deprecating with that. But nevertheless, that's another topic for another day. But you're right. There are so many issues on a serious
level. No, it's not. No.
There's so many serious issues, though, addressing, whether it be John Swofford or these athletic directors right now, that, you know, and I hope people are paying attention when the smartest people in the room are going, we don't have a definitive answer right now. And I think that's important to note, because you'll hear a bunch of talking heads and morons in the media going, oh, my God, this season's over. Or, hey, you know what, man, everybody's got a theory. Hey, there are no definitive answers today. There's still time to acquire information to reach a reason to say, listen, here's what we think the season's going to look like. But giving the answer on June 29th is not the solution. It's not.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Many thanks to John Wildhack, who just joined us. Always enjoy his conversations. And again, a very talented. We talk about depth of the quarterback position. How about depth in the athletic department? In terms of ADs in this league, Wes. I mean, we were kidding around about an AD list. By the way, that's not happening on this show. We're not doing an AD ranking, I assure you. But John Wildhack has such a great balance of not only how does an athletic department work, but also his television days at ESPN to understand that balance, too. And, I mean, you try to juggle all that in addition to a new stadium being rebuilt, and this world that we live in with the COVID and the social and the racial unrest. I mean, I can't even imagine how busy he is.
Well, and also I appreciate his insight and candor with us on his chancellor, Kent Severud, who is the chair of that executive committee of the ACC's board of directors, Mark. And that was announced about 10 days ago, and it just kind of went by the board with most people. But if you go back and look at that release, that is a change in bylaws in the ACC. It allows presidents and chancellors, CEOs of these institutions to have a little bit more presence in conversations. And I thought John did a good job pointing out in collaborative effort with not only SWAs, but also the faculty athletic reps as well. And this is a dynamic shift in terms of teamwork with the ACC. And to me, I'm just off the top, it creates a much more collective discussion about this conference as a whole. And I think one, by the way, I don't know how you feel, is one that I thought was needed, one that I thought you had to have more voices in the room if you were going to push this league forward in a lot of different ways, whether it's where we are with the pandemic or where we're going to be in 10, 15 years. I think this was a good change by the ACC and a nice addition to the bylaws and kind of their structure of governance.
I'm all for more voices in the room as long as it's a bunch of smart people. You don't need more voices in the room just to have noise, and that's not what the case is here. I mean, this league, I don't worry about the leadership at the top at these institutions, much less in the ACC home office in Greensboro. It's one of the reasons the conference has been as successful as it is in the classroom and on the fields and the courses and all everything else. So, but this is a really interesting time that we're in, and it's going to be interesting to sit where we are to kind of watch how this thing unfolds. From what does a football season look like? What does the basketball season look like? What do the Olympic sports look like for the 20-21 sports calendar year? Again, you're not going to get the answers today. But we're kind of in a really important 4 to 5 week period coming up in terms of information and what does the landscape look like around the country in terms of from a health standpoint. So we got plenty of time to get into all that stuff. But one of the issues that we have today, Wes, is the chore that we had over the weekend to try to figure out the all-decade team for ACC football. We unveiled the offensive side in hour number one. I'm going to let you lead off the defensive side.
All right, here are the 11 guys that I have on defense. And we're going to start with defensive end, which was, again, a position of several contenders, and you had to narrow it down to two. And I chose Bradley Chubb of NC State. Obviously, off to a great start in his pro career, but a tremendous college player with the Wolfpack, a guy who was All-America in his final campaign in Raleigh and just continued to make play after play after play for Dave Doran's team. So Bradley Chubb is one of my two defensive ends. The other one was a first-round NFL draft pick. I think originally was a tight end at Clemson somehow or another pack back in the day out of Adairsville, Georgia. And Vic Beasley became a star at defensive end. Really flourished under Brent Venables' tutelage on the defensive side of the ball. And finished with just a dominant performance in his final campaign with Clemson. So those are my two defensive ends. And yes, there is a laundry list of defensive ends that you could have chosen in this league. Inside the two defensive tackles, why not start with the guy that Pac says might be the greatest player in Clemson history, Christian Wilkins, right? I mean, what didn't Christian Wilkins do in his college career for Clemson? National championships, players of the year, Campbell Trophy. I mean, think about all the things Christian Wilkins did. And off to a good start professionally as well. Got to go back to the front of the decade. Don't forget about this cat. I know he's been a terror in the NFL. Well, he was a home wrecker in Pittsburgh now. Aaron Donald is from Pittsburgh and was just unbelievable. I think he's redefined interior defensive line play at the next level, and I think he set the standard with it when he was playing at Pittsburgh. Tremendous, tremendous college football player. All right, move on to the linebackers, and this is where the problems start. Go back early in the decade again, Luke Kuechly. Hard to believe that his pro career is over, but Kuechly, I mean, he made every tackle on the planet at Boston College. And we should have known. You just should have known going to the next level he would be as good as he was for the Carolina Panthers. Following Luke Kuechly, yeah, I did this. I sure did. Best three-level defensive player in college football last year, maybe the best defensive player in college football last year. And in my opinion, he might revolutionize the sport like Lawrence Taylor did on that side of the ball. I said that too. Isaiah Simmons. I just don't know of a player that had more impact with a team against high-level competition than Isaiah Simmons did. Quite simply, that's why he made my list. Third linebacker. If Bronco Mendenhall's program ultimately is successful year after year after year, it's going to be because of Micah Kizer. I thought his work ethic and productivity and other things, Pac, set an incredibly high standard for what Virginia football was going to be. And even though some of his teams didn't make it to bowl games, Micah Kizer did the right thing on and off the field. Again, another kid that won the Campbell Trophy. I thought Micah Kizer deserved a slot on the All-Decade. Now, I know we left some guys out here, but holy smokes, were they good. All right, let's get to the secondary. We're going to start at corner. Jalen Ramsey. I mean, really? Played everywhere. Played safety. Good enough athlete to play corner. Game changer on the defense for Florida State. I mean, I can't give you any more than that. Unbelievable. Now, the other corner could have been Ross Cockrell at Duke. Derwin James played corner when he was at Florida State, but I went Kendall Fuller of Virginia Tech. All-America, first-round pick. I thought Kendall Fuller was a guy who was not only productive in the areas that you thought of, interceptions, pass breakups, things like that, but I thought Kendall Fuller was an outstanding tackler in space as well. And in looking at his numbers, I thought Kendall Fuller was deserving of being on the All-Decade team. All right, safety. Now, Pac, this was an issue, wasn't it? At least it was for me. Here's another great play by Kendall Fuller in the open field against Duke. By the way, the Hokies all burn orange is a little underrated, in my opinion. Safeties. Quinn Blanding. Virginia had a great safety in the 90s named Anthony Poindexter, who wore number 3. I think Quinn Blanding was a guy who multi-pick at all-conference first team, But I thought Quinn Blanding was a big guy who was an important recruit from Mike London and then flourished in the early years of Bronco Mendenhall. And to me, Quinn Blanding's the kind of guy that was just one of the best safeties in college football and maybe didn't get the recognition because his teams weren't that successful. Again, Derwin James certainly fits this category. There were plenty on the list at safety. But I went with Blanding, and my 11th and final guy on defense, remember I told you Jamison Crowder was one of three guys that helped David Cutcliffe's team turn the corner? Well, here is the other one. Jeremy Cash, easily one of the best defensive players in the ACC in 2013. I thought Jeremy Cash was the reason the Blue Devils made the Coastal Division Championship, that they had a successful program. Certainly you look at Crowder and what they did on the offensive side, but Jeremy Cash became a game wrecker on defense. So there's my all-decade team, Chubb, Beasley, Wilkins, Donald, Keekly, Simmons, Kaiser, Ramsey, Fuller, Blanding, and Jeremy Cash. Mr. Packer.
Believe it or not, we have a lot of similarities on the defensive side, which disappoints me because I was hoping to have arguments with you. There's a couple in there that I do disagree with, but that's okay. I'll give you mine coming up. But as I mentioned, you know, if you've got a three-timer beside your name, you're in. There's two guys on your list that were a three-timer. Both from University of Virginia, Kaiser, Blanding. So I'm just giving you a little hint. I'm definitely doing the same thing on that front. This is hard to do. I think the defensive end and defensive tackle position in this league over the past 10 years, when you try to do this at home before you make fun of our terrible picks, and they're not terrible because everybody on here is good, but when you try to do it yourself, you're going to go, oh, my goodness, I left out A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. How am I going to narrow this to 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever you decide to do? The defensive end position, I mean, is ridiculous. Yeah. And I'll go through this heavier when I go through my list. But we've got a couple. We got a couple that we agree on the defensive end. We have a couple that we agree on the defensive tackle. I did not find the safety thing to be as difficult as you, but, I mean, Jeremy Cash, by the way, is not on my list, even though he's a two-timer and he was a big-time player. But one of my favorite players all time in this league is on that list, and I'll explain all that coming up. But, again, if you try this at home, just plan on a couple hours because you're going to realize quickly, yikes, what am I going to do trying to narrow this down to 2 or 4 players? It is really, really difficult. The league's had tremendous talent this past decade.
I don't disagree at all that it's difficult. And you get down in the minutia on some of this, and I'm going to apologize right now to Derwin James. I apologize, Derwin James. I wanted to put Derwin James on this list, and I actually did the ball game that he got hurt in his last year at Tallahassee. I did that game, Charleston Southern, meaningless game, late in the game. He gets hurt with the knee injury. And it looked like nothing, and he ends up missing the rest of the year. And Derwin James is a guy who, to this day, I still think can play all 11 positions on the field defensively if he needs to. You know, and I look at Blanding, and I looked at Jeremy Cash to me, Pack, got duped to the championship on the defensive side, and Jamison Crowder got him to the championship on the offensive side. And to me, Jeremy Cash dominated from a safety position, and Jim Knowles, who was the defensive coordinator at Duke at the time, just did a fantastic job engineering what that unit did because, and you know this, Duke's defenses have always kind of just wobbled. It's been the offense with Cut and Anthony Boone and all those cats, right? But that year with Jeremy Cash, he was just tremendous. And that's why he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year that year, if I recall correctly. And that's one of the reasons I put him on that list. I just remember how dominant he was. And he hadn't had a great pro career. He's had a cup of coffee here and there. But I just looked at guys that I thought had a major impact on teams. And in Micah Kaiser's case, I'll be honest with you, Micah Kaiser's probably not the first. You can name 5 linebackers you think of in ACC football. Micah Kaiser, not only was 3 times All-ACC, he won the Campbell Trophy, and he's responsible for that Virginia team a year ago as much as anybody because of his work ethic and the standards he set early in Bronco Mendenhall's tenure, I think.
All right. You're going to get my list, though, coming up. And Derwin James is not only on it, he's one of the best players I have ever seen in this league.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hello. This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, let's get right to this. No need to mess around. Wes just went through his all-decade defensive team. I'm going to show you a defensive team. Even though there's some similarities, there's some guys on here you just simply cannot leave off. Defensive end is tough. There's no question it's tough. We both agreed on Bradley Chubb. We differed on the other one. And again, keep in mind, when you look at the names in this league at defensive end, Brian Burns, Cleve Farrell, DeMarcus Walker, Juan Price, Mario Edwards, Vic Beasley, Robert Quinn. You could go on and on. I went Shaq Lawson for the second spot. There's Bradley Chubb eating people alive. I mean, choose your poison on this. And Beasley was a two-timer, right? So and so was Price at Pitt, was a two-timer. I went with big old 9-0, swallowing whole against Bama here and everybody else. This guy was nasty. Everybody on this list is nasty. You could have gone with 10 defensive ends and been completely fine.
Oh.
And this guy was ridiculous.
How'd it go for Baker Mayfield?
Oh. Baker didn't like that either. 90 was just nasty. This, to me, is the best player that's ever played at Clemson, right here, 42. In every sense of the word, on and off the field. Here is Clemson beating Ohio State again. They never lose to them. But Christian Wilkins has to be on this list. There's no doubt about it. But I'm going to go a little different with you, Wes, on my defensive tackles. Somehow, you only got the list of only leaving two. I went four. I'm going with the current dude right here, Big 2-1, one of our favorite guests. And I think this guy is just a wrecking ball. He's going to be great on Sundays. He's great on Saturdays in Tallahassee. You better know where 21 is because he's coming over to take your head off. Boom, there he is beating up on Miami. Marvin Wilson's on my list. This guy is a baller, period, in all caps. So I put Marvin in there. But I wasn't done with defensive tackles. No, no, no. How do you get rid of this one? Another number 90 from Clemson. There's something about the 9-0 with the tiger paw on the side of your helmet. Man, a lot. They still trying to figure out how to block Dexter. First time I ever saw this guy as a freshman, I said, you got to be kidding me. Who's blocking this guy? Well, the answer is nobody. Another two-timer. How do you keep him off this list? So there's another 90. And, man, Aaron Donald, Wes, you said it best. When you watch highlights of what Donald did at Pitt, you just go, yikes, nobody's blocking this dude. And I think he's taking it to a whole new level even on Sundays. I mean, you couldn't block him on Saturdays. You just can't block him on the weekends, period. So I went four defensive tackles on you. Wilkins, Wilson, Lawrence, Donald. And you know what? You could have still picked some other guys in this league. Man, this conference is just loaded with them up front. So between defensive ends and defensive tackles, I could just stop right there and say, man, I'm good to go. But no, they told us we had to pick linebackers. And believe it or not, Wes and I actually picked the same three. And I had to pick Luke Kuechly. Why? Two reasons. Number one, a great player. Number two, he lives right down the street. If I didn't pick him, he'd come down here and whip me and like, you know what? So, of course, I'm going to pick Luke Kuechly. And it is hard to believe that his career is over with the Panthers, but he's now a scout. Maybe we need to get him on the show. He'd be great. It'd be tremendous. But Luke Kuechly tackled everything in sight, whether it be Saturday or Sunday. Then you mentioned this guy, number 11. Not sure we've seen a more dynamic, just guy that could play on all three levels. He made plays, whether it be 60 yards downfield at the line of scrimmage. He'd outrun your fastest running back. He'd cover your wide receiver. Number 11 just wasn't fair. That's what he was. So congratulations to him. Again, here's Clemson beating up on South Carolina. That's what they do for a living. Own them. There's 11. You had another tackle behind the line, no doubt there. And Micah Kizer, I told you, if you're a three-timer in this league in a decade, you're going to be on my list. one of three three-time All-ACC players on Packers All-Decade team. You got another one coming up here on the defensive side from Virginia that we've talked about already. But nevertheless, Micah Kizer was a great, great player. And as you mentioned, not only impressive on the field, even more impressive off of it. Smart guy, representing the University of Virginia in absolutely the perfect sense of the word. All right, we get to safeties. You got to put another three-timer on it. I told you, if you go All-ACC, not one, not two, not three, you're on my team. And old number three here made plays all over the place. The whole conference was so glad to see him finally get out of Charlottesville. All this guy did was terrorize everybody. Mm. He was such a good player. Quinn Blanding is on there. No question about it. And I mentioned that you go into the break. The other safety might have been my favorite player in the league for a long, long time. Because if you watch a Florida State game, you would just keep your eye on this guy. You wouldn't even look at the ball. You just watch where in the world was Derwin James. Because it didn't matter where he lined up. He was getting ready to go make a play. There's decapitating somebody from Georgia Tech. Man, alive, this guy was great. There is impossible to keep this guy off the list. Impossible to keep three from Florida State off the list. Has to be on there. All right, I'm going to keep it with the Noles. Jalen Ramsey's a bad, bad man. Two-time All-ACC player, incredible athlete. I tell you what, you can just trying to do a Florida State secondary would have been a tough list. But this guy has to be on the list, too. Man, the Noles have been unbelievably blessed in the secondary. But Ramsey's on there. And I'm not done. I'm not done praising Florida State secondary. I'm going to keep it in Tallahassee. I'm going LaMarcus Joyner. Now, there's a lot of guys. Wes, you mentioned Fuller, Virginia Tech. I loved him as a player. It's tough keeping him off. Cash was great at Duke. Edmonds, all those Edmonds at Virginia Tech. They had like 900 Edmonds in Blacksburg. But, man, I liked old LaMarcus Joyner. He would hit you. He'd talk to you. He'd make sure he knew about it. Love number 20. The Noles had some – it's amazing the amount of talent they had in the secondary. And just for fun, I threw Dustin Hopkins in there too as a kicker. Not sure if you guys had one of those, but we could have gone a number of different routes with that. So I gave you 600 guys on the all-decade team on the defensive side. So there you go. 14. I'm starting 14.
I would like to say, by the way, I've already received the text from a conference official who has let me know that your team is ineligible because it has 13 guys on it.
I don't care. You wouldn't say that in my face with my 13 guys behind me. I can tell you that right now.
It's the greatest. I want to tell you. On behalf of Packer and Durham, I want to congratulate you on the greatest All-ACC decade defensive team ever.
That was the object of the chore, wasn't it? I mean, that was what we were supposed to do. Well, we were the best players on the defensive side for the league. I just gave them to you.
It's the greatest defensive unit ever because it's illegal because you got two more players than are allowed.
The only thing is illegal was how great the talent was in this league on the defensive side for the past decade. That's the only thing that was illegal. So I don't want to hear anything from any ACC official that I broke the rules on that. Nonsense. You wouldn't say that to any of these guys. And Wes, we left off so many names that could have been on here. And I'll just say it for the 400th time on this show. Go, if you got some downtime, you want to have some fun, just go do this yourself and you got to go 2010 to 2019 on your market set, go and do some homework because it is impossible to do this. Impossible.
All right. We did our best. That's all we can say. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a chance to respond. You can do it a couple different ways. You want to call tomorrow's show? You can do that. 844-SAY-ACCN. Or, you want to send us a video mailbag? You can do that too. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Take your video horizontally. Let us know your thoughts and comments, and we will air some of the best ones during the show throughout the week. You get a chance to crack on our all-decade offense and defense. Have at it. But as Pack says, try it. It's not as easy as you think.
And then, by the way,
when we come back, final segment of Monday's show.
Wait a minute. And if you work at the ACC office, and you want to man up on video, you can bring it. Don't send an anonymous text to Wes Durham that Pac doesn't know he's breaking the rules. You can go ahead and man up on your phone, identify yourself and your position within the league, and then you can take your shot, and then we'll deal with it.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
My thanks to John Wildhack, Director of Athletics at Syracuse, who joined us earlier. Tomorrow, Wes, just a little preview, some more athletic directors will join us on the program.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of Miami and Virginia Tech joining the ACC PAC. And so Blake James, the athletic director at Miami, Whip Babcock, the athletic director at Virginia Tech, I think, may stop by as well. And I think we're going to get a visit from our buddy Coach Greenberg tomorrow. How about that?
Like it. Shows have been good. Shows have been fun. And, again, we'll try to get some more answers. I think it's been interesting, though. It almost doesn't matter if it's an athletic director, coach, commissioner. Everybody wants to know, hey, are we going to have football? I think we are going to have football. I just don't know when. But right now, nobody knows anything specifically. So, be smart, be safe, and the more you can protect yourself and others, the quicker we'll get back to normal. That's all I do know.
And speaking of those type standards, let's check in on another quarantine confessional and our first repeat performer on the confessional. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Tom Luganville.
So we've all been stuck in Atlanta traffic, right? So I'm on I-85. This past weekend, and there's a terrible wreck. I mean, it was really, really bad, and it brought the traffic to a screeching halt to the point where everybody on the freeway was literally putting their car in park. So people got out of their cars. It was kind of like a block party. There was a baby in a walker that was literally walking in between 18-wheelers with his dad. And so I decided, you know what? When do you ever get a chance to lay down in the middle of I-85 between an 18-wheeler and other cars and do snow angels? So I figured I'd give it a shot. My lovely wife took the picture, and 4 hours later, traffic started moving and we were off. So my inspiration was part opportunity and part copying the movie The Program. Only the traffic wasn't moving. See you, Wes.
Do we have the picture of the snow angel?
Let's go to the pictures.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, we got more than that.
Look at that.
We've got, there it is. Yeah. Thank you, Tennille, for taking the pictures.
That looked like a familiar pose when he was at Georgia Tech, isn't it?
Wait, there's the baby in the walker.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Looks like fun on I-85. No question about it.
Another day. Hey, another day at Camp Luganville, right?
I love that picture. I love that picture.
And, we're going to have to put that one in the files, by the way, just to hold on to that one. My goodness. Tom Luganville, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only. All right, once again, if you took nice Vans on his feet, by the way, you like the shorts, Pac? They look like he ripped down his aunt's draperies, made some shorts. The all-decade team from earlier in the show, if you disagree with any of it, hashtag Packer and Durham. If you want to submit a video, horizontal, please. We'll take some of the best ones and put them on the show tomorrow and throughout the week. I'm sure this will get lots of reaction. Thanks to John Wildhack for spending time with us today. Tomorrow, Blake James of Miami, Whip Babcock, the athletic director of Virginia Tech, and Seth Greenberg on this program. and more fun coming up later in the week as we head to July 4th.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.